Corinne Bailey Rae, the hard-to-categorize British singer who caught the world's attention with her song Girl, Put Your Records On, is back with a new album called The Sea. The songwriting straddles an extremely difficult period in Rae's life. Her husband, saxophonist Jason Rae, died suddenly in March of 2008. As we'll hear today, some of the most affecting songs on the new album were actually written before his death, which devastated Corinne. We'll start off with this performance from the stage of World Cafe Live of the new song, Closer.
Get close to you, baby, yeah. Thanks, Dan. Thanks so much.
Well, yeah, that is Closer. Corinne, this is like the perfect band for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's a great
absolutely
band.
Fabulous. Now, a bunch of these folks made the record with you, right?
Yeah, everybody who's on stage with me played on the album. So I think that just felt like the right thing to do. And luckily, these guys wanted to come out traveling with me. But they're also old friends of mine as well. So I've known each other a long time. And do you want me to introduce the band to you?
You better.
This is Luke Flowers on drums. So Kenny Higgins on bass. Jen Birch on guitar, vocals, and harmonium. It's John McCallum on guitar and vocals. And Steve Brown on vocals and all keyboards of sorts.
Okay, so you've known these folks for a while.
Yeah.
And you're from Leeds in England. I'd love you to talk a little bit about Leeds because okay. It's so central to your life. I mean, you went to university there, but you lived there before, right?
Yeah, I was born in Leeds, and I went to university there because I was in a band. I was in a band with Jen behind me. We're in this guitar band called Helen. And I don't know, we just sort of thought, like, you know, any minute now it's going to happen. So I didn't want to go away from Leeds. And so then when we were at university, we got offered this development deal. But that sort of fell through, and around the same time, our bass player had a baby, and it was all like a bit of a weird sort of time. But then when I finished university, I started working in like waitressing. But all the time I was at university, I was working this bar called The Underground. There was this sort of jazz and soul bar. I used to work behind, you know, sort of behind the bar and clean the tables. And the different bands that came in were amazing, and a lot of these people I actually met at the Underground. Well, everyone except Jen. Jen I knew from being a kid, but everyone else I met at the Underground, and you know, I was like 18 and they were all a bit older and like earning a living through music and playing, and I just like was amazed by everybody and sort of got to know him through that and occasionally got up to sing with them, and yeah,
so
that's how
So is there a lot of different music happening there, or is it...
Yeah, there was. I mean, oh, you mean in Leeds in general?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of jazz and soul happening there because it was one of the few places you could study jazz in England. There was a course in London, and then there was only a course in, the only course in the north of England was in Leeds. So a lot of people came down from Scotland and sort of up from that area and studied there and then stayed there. So yeah, I think between Leeds and Manchester, where Luke's from and Steve lives now, I think there's a really good, pretty small, but really good sort of jazz and soul scene, which I feel part of.
This album, when you look at it, you kind of have to divide these songs up between the ones that you had been writing before your husband died and then the ones that came after. And it's really interesting listening to it, just the little bits that I know about when these things happen. Some of the ones that have real resonance and make you think about your husband and his death are the ones that were written before. And it seems kind of odd. Does that happen for you too?
Yeah, I think that like grief is one of the themes of the record, and certainly the song that I was writing, which is called The Sea, that's about a loss that happened in our family sort of generations ago, like before I was born. It's about my mum's dad dying and how that affected the kids in the family. So I was thinking about those kind of themes before, and then I don't know. I think when something like that happens, obviously the way in which the record is sort of viewed is changed. But for me, the thing I felt happy with going back to the album was that I was really happy with the songs that I'd already recorded and still made a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the songs I recorded more recently, I feel like there's a really good marriage between the two, and there isn't like a massive sort of crack down the album, which was really important to me. And important to me as a person as well, that I didn't, you know, I felt like there were still these two sort of separate sides of my life were still, you know, still locked together and still married. So, yeah, I think people will interpret the album in all different ways, but a lot of the record I had already written.
How did you know when it was time to get back to work and start writing?
I didn't really feel like I was sort of desperate to get back to work. I just felt like... I didn't hear any songs for ages. No songs sort of came in for a really long time. And then after a while, I just started to hear songs coming in, I guess. So it just kind of happened naturally.
Something that doesn't happen to any of us, but that's nice. Now, I heard there was a Nina Simone video that was really important at one point.
Yeah, definitely. I'd got this video from Amir from Questlove, who lives here in Philly.
Absolutely.
And we were doing a recording for Al Green, with Al Green, for his record Lay It Down. And he has got like the biggest library of music. And for the Al Green sessions, we were watching Al Green a lot on Soul Train, and from the 70s, it was incredible. And then getting to see him there, sort of singing, still sounded amazing, but a different sort of shape and size and a different age, you know. It's just like it's a time machine. But then, yeah, he just has like every Soul Train that was ever performed. And he also has a lot of videos from the Montreux Jazz Festival. And there was a performance that Nina Simone did there. I'm not exactly sure when it was. I think it must be like late 70s, maybe even early 80s. I'm not sure. You've seen it, haven't you? But yeah, it's just like heart-stopping performance, very, very intense, very emotionally open. And I think watching people like that is really inspiring. And I think the sort of music I do, I feel like I'm always trying to be honest. Like, I don't feel like I'm a natural sort of performer, like show person. I feel like all the songs, the real songs to me, and the only way I can do it is if it actually means something to me and makes sense to me. And, you know, that's the only way, especially playing in front of an audience. Sometimes the audience is really into it and is really feeling it. And other times, you know, people can be colder and you've got to sort of have it for yourself, you know. So I think, the music I've done, I believe in myself, you know. So, and it's always great when other people get into it as well.
The first single is a song called I Do It All Again. And I guess that's one I guess I was referring to that came from before.
Yeah.
And as you put it, this came after a disagreement with your husband.
Yeah,
you put that so nicely.
yeah. I felt like this song, you know, listening back to it, is a really sort of defiant love song. And in a way, it's like the sort of second half to Like a Star, which I wrote for my first album, where I think it's kind of a much more open version of that and a much more sort of raw version of that, which is that, you know, sometimes things are really difficult and really painful. And if you're actually in the type of relationship where, you know, it's only that, there's no sort of options outside, it's all about that one person. And I think, you know, you're really lucky to have that. So, yeah, that's what that song's about. It's like a defiant love song.
You can do that one?
Yep, we'll do that one.
Oh, you're searching for something I know will make you happy. Oh, you're thirsting for something I know won't make you happy. Oh, you did it all again. You broke another skin. It's hard to believe this time. It's hard to believe that my heart's an open door. You got all you came for, baby. So we.
This song's called The Blackest Lily.
Corinne Bailey Gray, our guest today on the Cafe, and that's another one from The Sea, which is the new album. And you did that song Blackest Lily. Did Amir ever talk about Black Lily in Philly?
Yeah, he did. I mean, that's where I got the title for the song from. It was when we were recording some stuff with Al Green that I wrote a song with him, which I thought was going to end up on the record, when it never did. But when we were recording that, we found ourselves with a bit of downtime, and it was kind of twiddling his thumbs, like he's a bit restless, and he's like, you know, have you got no other songs that you've written that we can record? And I said, well, I've got this kind of like trashy Rolling Stonesy sort of thing, but I don't know if you'd be into it. But he was like, oh yeah, that's right up my street. So we started working on that song and recording it, but I hadn't finished the chorus of the song at that time. And he was talking to me about the Black Lily night, and I knew sort of what space I was trying to fit and the chorus together, and I thought, oh, the Blackest Lily is a really good title for the song. So yeah, I asked him if I could nick that title. He didn't mind.
We should tell people that Black Lily was a night at a nightclub here where sort of neo soul women and hip hop women, Jill Scott, and a lot of them got to do an amazing array of people got to perform and got a star. It was really, really cool thing. Well, you mentioned that the title track of this album, The Sea, is from your family's history. What's the story?
Well, I wanted to... I bought this auto harp in a folk shop. And I don't know loads and loads about technical music, so I saw it and I was like, oh, it's got all the chords. Because I just thought loads of chords. Of course it's not, it's in one key. But when I got it home, I started messing around with it, and I found that I was enjoying writing stuff, which if I'd have written it on guitar, like, you know, I've got the chords written there. They're like C, E minor, and A minor. I wouldn't have thought to write that on guitar, because in my head it's sort of too simplistic. But on that thing, it just sounded like angelic to me, in this texture that I hadn't experienced before. And I mean, I've been talking about this song, The Sea, a lot, but the real answer of where it came from is that, you know, I don't really know. Like, I don't know where it came from, but I found myself singing about this family story of knowing that my mum's dad had died in this accident, and seeing, think about how it affected their children, and having recently found out that his daughters were actually there, you know, there when it happened. I didn't realise that. So it was just sort of finding that out, and then, I don't know, playing on that instrument that brought the thing together. And yeah, then we actually recorded it by the sea, which seemed to work really well. And we were in that barn. We were in this like barn in the middle of the night and freezing cold, and yeah, I just feel like it came into the recording, so I was really pleased with that. That's the first thing I recorded for the album.
So you want to it all started with the auto harp.
Yeah,
here we go.
I'm
never knew you were standing on the shore and say, explains everything, and then from then on couldn't be just like before. It saves everything, changes everything. So don't you stand there wishing your life would fade. You go around with anyone who makes you feel ashamed. Goodbye, paradise. I hope there's something you could try. Goodbye, it's your soul. Leave anything.
Thank you.
Corinne Bailey Ray. Hey, Corinne, thank you so much for playing live for us. Really a treat.
Thank you.
Thanks to this great band. The new album is The Sea, and we thank our audience here at World Cafe Live as well.